Good morning and welcome to Jump in Tucson, and you're listening to the Engagement Hour. I am your host, Ted Maxwell, and I've got Matt Neely behind the glass, keeping us on time and on target. Can't do it without him, that's for sure. We are a nation bound by shared values of freedom, liberty, and equality, and with that comes some rights and responsibilities. For some, that includes service to our country, and others for service to our community. So we've spent a lot of time the last week talking about electeds and the role of elected officials and different policies, as well as what we're going to see on the ballot. And sometimes that can get us bogged down a little bit. So today we're going to take a big shift and we're going to go to focus on communities. I've talked about the fact that we're looking to encourage you to get engaged, get involved. You know, some serve through the roles of first responders. Others serve in the military. Some take the step and become elected officials and represent the citizenry of our country. But there's a lot of other ways to get involved, and that includes in your community. That can be through nonprofit organizations, that can be volunteering at your church, leading your homeowners association either. There's always some way to get involved. We all know that ultimately voting is our most sacred right. We need to be informed voters, but we can get involved in so many different ways. So today I'm very honored to have Malia Chavez with me. She's the CEO of the Community Food Bank of Southern Arizona. And she's got quite the history that led her to come and join us here. But Malia, really grateful to have you on the show with me today.
Thank you so much for having me. Good morning.
Good morning. And I'm looking forward to having an hour of talking about what folks can do to get involved to help those others who are in need. But part of this program is always talking about people's background and their path. Now, we know, you know, almost 2 years ago now, you came and became the CEO of the Community Food Bank of Southern Arizona, which is an organization my wife, Katie, and I love to support because it does so much in so many different ways for the community. But you had quite a journey to get here.
I did.
So I'd like you to share with the listeners first a little bit about that journey, like starting with where you grow up, you know, your education, and then into your professional side that led you to the role you've got today.
Absolutely. Well, thank you again for having me. My journey was one of, I guess, a windy road. So my mom was always in social work, and she had done a lot of community organizing. I was born in San Francisco, California. And she came out here in the 80s doing some labor organizing and working in some of our smaller communities here in Southern Arizona. She met my stepdad, who's from Clifton, Arizona. And they fell in love, and we ended up moving to Tucson, to the big city from Clifton. And she spent her whole career here in Tucson working for different nonprofit agencies, everything from La Frontera to our family services, before she retired. And as a kid, I had a lot of experience working with her and going out, and I got to work a lot with Punch Woods, who was our longtime CEO at the Community Food Bank of
Southern
Arizona. There's
a name I have not heard in a long time, and that's great to hear. Yeah, Punch Woods was a legend.
He was. He was amazing, and Casey is still, you know, very active and involved with our organization as a supporter, and has been very influential for me personally, just in how they also influenced community involvement, community engagement, and what it means to be so much more than just a food bank. And that's what I feel like we are here at the Community Food Bank of Southern Arizona.
So did you actually go to school here in Tucson and in the Southern Arizona region?
I did. I moved here in third grade.
Okay.
And I did. I went to a number of schools here. I went to Tolson Elementary School, and then I went to Hollinger. And then I went to Maxwell Middle School, and then I graduated from Cholla High School. And then
Cholla Charger.
Yeah,
there
Chargers
you go.
All the way. And that's been really great to be able to be back in the community. One of our initiatives as part of the Community Food Bank is our local farm, which is Las Milpitas Farm, which is very close to where Cholla High School is. And the neighborhood. And so it's been really nice to also still stay very connected to where I grew up. That's been one of the most beautiful things and gifts about being in this role. But yeah, after high school, I moved away. I did go and become a Sun Devil. Sorry, don't hold it against me. But I did end up going to ASU and then graduated from there and moved back to San Francisco, which is where I was from, and had the opportunity to go to law school there. Went to UC Hastings, and it was just such a wonderful experience. And throughout my legal career, I always had legal clinics that were based in community-based organizations to continue to provide that support. And what I noticed over the years was that food security, housing security, and a whole array of different legal issues overlapped. And so every time I had my legal clinic, I would have it in conjunction with any food pantry distributions. And we found that the rate of participation, completion of paperwork, following through on orders were just in the 90 percentile, where if we just had people come to the court and try to finish up their paperwork or follow through on orders, the rates were a little less than half. And so it was really impactful to actually meet the community where they were.
Absolutely. And I think there's no doubt that when people are worried about what their next meal is going to be, mm-hmm. or where it's going to come from, or how they're going to get the food,
yes.
that takes away from a lot of your other focuses in life. You've got to have your basic needs met in order to deal with other issues that you might have going on. And I believe when you were referencing, you started were part of a self-help and dispute resolution services. So
yes.
your first step into using your legal degree was really helping that negotiation and compromise and getting people to help people resolve their issues.
Absolutely. And that I actually owe to very early childhood experience here in Tucson. So Tucson was one of a very few handful of pilot projects across the country through the American Bar Association. A few middle schools actually participated, it was elementary and middle schools, in peer mediation training. And so I got involved in that very early on in my academic career and continued through mediation all through law school as well as in our first legal clinics. And so even at the court, when I worked at the Superior Court in San Francisco, we started a small claims mediation program, which was a great alternative for folks who didn't necessarily want to access the entire legal process, who maybe had legal barriers or there were additional expenses. So it was a really great alternative for people to reach creative outcomes.
I think we could use probably a lot more mediation, civil discourse, dispute resolution. There's so many examples that where if we just take the time to talk to each other, we could probably come to better solutions for everybody.
Agreed, 100%.
And we've had so many examples in this region that show that we need that. I don't want to, I want to make sure to point out one that I found really interesting when I was doing the research on you, and that's that.
Sure.
For about 4 years, it looked like you ran a program that was focused on homeless prenatal care. And
yes.
Can you talk a little bit about that?
Absolutely. Really, my work at the homeless prenatal program in San Francisco is really how I got so heavily involved in food security issues. So while it was all really revolving around maternal health issues, housing and then food insecurity were the two biggest issues for pregnant individuals. And that was a really big challenge, especially in a place like San Francisco, where you assume that everyone has what they need just based on the fact that it's a pretty wealthy community.
Cost of living is definitely not cheap there.
Oh, no, it is not at all. And that made it that much harder for folks who had more barriers in general. But the work that we did there was really focused on a number of things. A lot of it had to do with, again, maternal health, wellness, from both a medical perspective, but also from a food security perspective. And that's really where I got into a lot of the advocacy, as well as doing more education, and then working a lot with the community food bank equivalent in San Francisco, which is the San Francisco Marin Food Bank. And they provided a partnership with us where we did food distribution, which was so much more than that, because it was also a form of engagement for the community. We had a lot of wonderful volunteers. We had a lot of businesses that contributed and really wanted to support the well-being of new families.
Well, I think we're going to take a break at this moment, because you've done a great job kind of setting up where your passion for food security and those in need in that field or in that area mm-hmm. grew. When we come back, we'll talk about your path that led you to the Community Food Bank of Southern Arizona and what, coming into the program, you saw as your goals and objectives. So please return with us after this. You're listening to 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk, and this is Jump in Tucson, the Engagement Hour. Welcome back. You're listening to Jump in Tucson. This is the Engagement Hour. I'm your host, Ted Maxwell. My guest today is Malia Chavez, CEO of the Community Food Bank of Southern Arizona. So, Malia, we talked the first segment kind of on your background and all the things, and everything led you back kind of in to food in food security, food insecurity. I hear them called that way. I don't know if there's a proper or one that preferred, but you came back to Tucson.
Yes.
How did that happen? You were in San Francisco. You had a lot going on out there. You had a lot of different programs. You were learning a lot of things. Probably very well connected in the community as well. How'd you get here?
Yeah, I think it's been a long time wish and hope to be able to move back to Tucson. And I do have a teenager who just graduated from high school. And at the time when this position came open, we had just started talking about potentially moving back once he was done with school. And again, the timing was just such that I came across the position and it really spoke to me on so many levels and really provided an opportunity for me to move back with my mom as well. So my mom has wanted to come back to Tucson. She had moved to San Francisco with me back in 2007, I believe, is when she moved back, and was a big part of my kiddo's life. And so that was a big, important thing for us. But my sister, who's 10 years younger than I am, she also has a family and has some young ones. And the goal was always to have grandma come back and be able to spend time with them as well. So when this position opened, it just felt like the timing was so perfect. And I was so encouraged by all of my family, including my son, to really make this change. And so it all just kind of aligned. And again, as you mentioned before, it was just at a place in my career too, where everything had lined itself up to really get involved and be more active, I think, and have a more influential role in food security issues. And people do use food security and food insecurity very interchangeably. I like to stay away from the scarcity mentality.
Go to
and
the positive.
So, yeah, try to use the security perspective. But and we've even renamed a lot of our commodities programs and the programs that people know us for the food distribution piece. That's now under our food security team. And so the goal is really to make sure that we're addressing food insecurities in communities.
So I'm sure your sister must have sent you that job opening and said, hey, here's an opportunity for you and mom to come back to Tucson. But what was it when you looked at it that really intrigued you? What did you see in the food bank, either particular programs or particular avenues that caught your attention that said, I know this is a good fit for me?
So many. There were so many different aspects. Again, we're the Community Food Bank of Southern Arizona, but we're so much more than a traditional food bank. The education component that it really is a main focus for us, from our school pantries, from our school gardening programs, from water, you know, recapture and education, to the farm, which, you know, is the largest home to the most diverse form of bees in this whole southern region. There's just so many incredible programs. But then also at the time, when I worked at Episcopal Community Services in San Francisco, we had a culinary training program that was so important and so critical to a lot of our shelter programs, to our supportive housing programs, to our senior meal programs. And Caridad Community Kitchen here in Tucson provides a very similar model. And so looking at all of the different components of the Community Food Bank of Southern Arizona, it just felt like I could not have asked for a better job fit for me and for my skill set and for my experience, and just felt that this was a really wonderful opportunity to give back not only to the community, but to also be able to grow as a leader and figure out ways in which we can continue to make a huge difference in the community and throughout all of Southern Arizona.
So that's a great point. It's the Community Food Bank of Southern Arizona.
Yes.
So you know, you'd been involved in many other organizations. I don't know if you'd been involved in any that were of the size and magnitude of this, but can you kind of give the listeners just an understanding of the scope and the area of your responsibility as a food bank?
Absolutely. So we are, we cover all five southern counties. So Santa Cruz, Pima, we have Graham, Greenlee, and Cochise. And so it's five counties. It's about 23,000 square miles. It's a hugely diverse region, and there are some very literal food deserts from, you know, one end to the other. And it's just an amazing opportunity to be able to provide support at all these different levels and to engage with different communities that have very different needs. But it is a really huge geographic area.
Yeah, can you give that number again on the square miles?
23,000 square miles.
Yeah, that's large.
It is. It's large and it's very spread out. And one of the things that I think is important to note too about the Community Food Bank of Southern Arizona, we're one of only four Feeding America official food banks in Arizona. The other three are United in Mesa, St. Mary's Food Bank in Phoenix, and then Yuma Food Bank, which is in Yuma. And of those four food banks, there are two of us that carry the overall contract for all of the commodities programs that people know us for. So those USDA boxes and the things that people come and help us pack on the production line. There's only two contracts, one's with St. Mary's and one's with us here in Southern Arizona. And so that's a huge honor and also a great responsibility, I think, to cover all of Southern Arizona in a way that I don't necessarily know that everybody understands. So that's one of the really wonderful things about us is that we do cover the entire Southern region. And it's great because it's actually run by us that are so connected to those communities. And so it's not just sort of a removed relationship with our partners.
So there are a lot of other food banks and agencies throughout those five counties.
Yes.
What kind of relationship do you have with those food banks? And is it a supportive leadership, partnering? What's that relationship and how do you help them accomplish their mission as well?
Yes. So the model is that, you know, while we are the official Feeding America food bank, which has its own criteria for what it means to be a food bank of that magnitude. So then it's usually based on your capacity for storage, your fleet of vehicles, your ability to move food within a region. So then we partner with over 350 nonprofit, faith-based, and community-based organizations. So that's a lot of individuals.
It's a lot of partners.
It is. It's a lot of different communities. And it really varies. It can be, again, from the school pantry sites to our tribal nation neighbors to Interfaith Community Services is one of our large partners here in Pima County, in Tucson. But we also have a number of relationships with other organizations throughout all of Southern Arizona. So each county has very different models for pantries, whether or not they are open one day a month or they're open every day of the week or they're providing shelf-stable items versus fresh produce. And our goal is to push out as much fresh produce as possible.
And how many of these agencies are staffed and manned predominantly through volunteers?
The vast majority of them are volunteer-run only programs, which is why it's a great collaboration, because for many of them, they have wonderful community engagement and involvement, and that allows them to serve the community for one day a month or for one day a week in a way that is sustainable for them. So we will, for instance, for mobile distributions, we bring in the food the day of, we help them set up, they have the volunteers that are local and part of the community, and then they do all the distribution. And those can vary from anything from 120 individuals that we serve to our larger distributions that are over 600 people. And then you have also distributions at our country club location, which unfortunately at this time we are having record-breaking numbers. So we are seeing on some days, we've seen over 2,000 people for distribution, which was really unheard of a couple of years ago. Those would be more like our Thanksgiving and holiday big surge numbers. But now we're seeing them on a very regular time frame.
What's your belief on why you're seeing that surge? Obviously, there's a lot of discussion about the cost of groceries.
Yes.
Has gone up significantly. So even if some of those folks have incomes or have some stream, they're not able to purchase as much. What's the feedback you're getting from the clientele that you have?
Yeah, absolutely. It definitely is the cost of food, high cost of food, high cost of living in general. So housing and transportation cost are just so high now for folks. And then that's besides looking at medical cost, and especially in Arizona and in some of our regions in Southern Arizona, where we do have an aging adult population, where the medical costs are actually the most, I think, that's the biggest barrier for people.
Combined with fixed incomes for those elderly members of our community quite often.
Yes. And so you have then the rising cost of housing, medical cost, and then usually food is the last item that people tend to focus on, which is just an interesting phenomenon in general. But so we are seeing an increase in people coming to us, even for the very first time, because they just can't kind of make their dollar stretch.
Well, that's kind of a great lead for our, when we come back after the break. You're listening to Jump In Tucson, the Engagement Hour, and my guest is the CEO of the Community Food Bank, Malia Chavez, and we'll be back after the bottom. Good morning and welcome back to Jump In Tucson. This is the Engagement Hour, and my guest today is the CEO of the Community Food Bank of Southern Arizona, Malia Chavez, and I'm sure you're dying to get back to more conversation about that. But first, I want to welcome the Jim Click Automotive team to the Jump In Tucson Engagement Hour show. The automotive team is going to step up as a sponsor, and you're going to probably hear something a little bit more professional in the future on how we're doing. But right now is a great time to consider buying a vehicle. A lot of the supply issues that we had during the pandemic have gone away, and Jim Click Automotive provides you with 11 different dealerships in three areas throughout Southern Arizona. It doesn't matter what kind of vehicle you want. If you want a Chrysler, a Jeep, a Dodge, a Ram truck, Ford, Hyundai, Lincoln, Mazda, Nissan, and even Kia, Jim Click has a location for you. And I'll tell you, my wife purchased a Kia from Jim Click Automotives about 2 years ago, and it has so far been one of the best cars we've ever had. So I strongly ask you to support Jim Click Automotives. He does a lot for the community, and if you're interested in a new vehicle, give him the opportunity to find you one that will fit what you're looking for. So, Malia, we've had a lot of conversation on the background, how you got here, that kind of stuff, but this show is about trying to get people engaged and involved. And there are more programs that you've got than we're going to ever be able to touch.
Yes.
So I want to give you the opportunity to highlight the ones you want. And please talk about how people can get engaged and how people can find more information about the Community Food Bank of Southern Arizona.
Absolutely. Well, you can always find information about volunteering at our website. You can go on to communityfoodbank.org. And trying to see here, I think we have a couple of specific links for our upcoming events, which on September 14th, let me make sure I got the day right. Yes, Saturday, September 14th will be our 15th annual Hunger Walk, which is a huge deal for us. It's our biggest annual fundraiser and event. And so if people are interested in getting involved in that, you can walk virtually. You don't have to actually physically be there if you don't want to be in the heat. You can sponsor a team. You can get involved in lots of different ways, or you can be a volunteer the day of. In Tucson, we will be walking at Sam Lena Park and Kino Sports Complex. And in Green Valley, we'll be at the historic Canoa Ranch for the walk this year.
Now, will the walk that's leaving from the park, will it end as it used to always, and at the Community Food Bank?
Yes, correct. So you can come on through. It's one of the very rare times where we open up the warehouse and people can actually walk through and get a tour. So you can see where we store everything. You can see all the stacks of food as well as our large coolers and freezers. It's a really interesting and fun experience for the whole family.
Well, and it's an impressive, if you haven't seen the facilities that you have down there, it is really impressive. And to your point that you made early, 23,000 square miles, mm-hmm. you're responsible for five counties, multiple 350 partner organizations, the amount of, and as a Feeding America site, you've got access to food, both coming up that's not getting distributed elsewhere that you can pick up. It is really impressive. If people haven't been down there to see it, and there's opportunities to actually volunteer at the food bank there as well.
Correct.
So I would strongly encourage the Hunger Walk. I've done it several times with the Dolly Walreedy School of Accountancy as they put together a team every year, and it's a great event. So let's dive into some of the other programs you've got that you want to make sure the community is aware of, because many of them have both that educational side as well as the feeding.
Yes.
I've always heard it's not just about feeding the line, it's about shortening the line.
Correct. And it is always about how do we address hunger and issues that are people are facing today and trying to figure out how to get to a better place of sustainability and hunger-free tomorrow. That is definitely still part of our mission and our core. So while we talk about that, education is a huge component. So we have community gardens, both in partnership as well as at the schools. So we have them in a number of schools. This year we'll be expanding to the Marana. Marana High School will have a garden this year. And we are also working with the Marana Family Resource Center to create a garden there. We're already partners with them in their large pantry. But yeah, so the education component is huge. There's also the opportunity to volunteer at our farm. So Las Milpitas does a lot of education. So people can have plots there to be able to grow. They learn about different growth cycles and different produce and things that are native and will grow well here. And also there's a lot of education programs there, everything from growing and cooking and using mesquite to water conservation and programs in which how, you know, you can make a difference in your own communities. We also have on-site at our country club location, there's always the opportunity for people to volunteer on our production line to help us produce the boxes that we've talked about earlier.
Absolutely.
So the temporary emergency food assistance program boxes or our CSFP, which are the senior boxes. And then we also have a number of wonderful initiatives this year. We have a diabetic box that's very specific in a joint partnership with the University of Arizona and with El Real Health Centers. And the goal there is to make sure that we're providing very specific type of nutrition for populations. And we're also working on a tribal box right now as well that will be relevant for different tribal communities.
And one of the things about the distribution lines, it's an opportunity not just for individuals, because you can sign up as an individual or you and, you know, a couple of your friends come down, but you will also accept organizations, sororities, fraternities.
Yes.
A lot of these organizations have requirements to do to public service. And this is one way they can fulfill it. So there's a lot of ways larger groups can come down. And now you're having fun doing it with a bunch of people you know, and it makes that time go even that much faster.
Absolutely. And we couldn't do it without the large groups that we get very regularly. So we do have about 30 to 40 volunteers on a very regular basis at our country club location. Green Valley has about 25 to 30 regular volunteers as well. Nogales has about 15. So we have a very steady and very committed group of folks, but we also rely on these larger groups to come in and help us to produce. I mean, every month we need to produce over 20,000 boxes to be able to distribute. And so keeping up with that demand is really hard. And so we can always use the volunteers. I'm really excited and happy to announce that tomorrow we will actually be launching our new sorting machine, which in my first week as a new CEO, I asked, can we please get a sorting machine? We get really wonderful support by a lot of local farmers and producers, everything from potatoes to apples to cucumbers. But bagging and trying to get those so that they can be distributed to our community partners is a challenge in and of itself. Getting, you know, 1 million pounds of potatoes that come in big totes takes a lot of people power. And so now having the new sorter machine will mean that more volunteers can actually help us bag more of the produce much quicker. So I'm very excited. If you're interested in volunteering and participating in that, definitely look us up online at thecommunityfoodbank.org. And there's a huge volunteer page there. You just fill out the application or you can call and we can just connect you with our volunteer services team and you can come in when you're available.
So it is truly that simple, because I was surprised when I was searching that it is just communityfoodbank.org.
Yes.
There's no Southern Arizona in there. There's nothing else. So whoever managed to grab that .org website did very well on that front. You talked about a lot of the education. Obviously, the education in the schools impacts not just their knowledge on food and how it's impacted in the growing, but there's also that leads to they get to cook and serve some of that food in their school cafeterias. So it opens up a lot of career fields for those younger generations. Obviously, the larger expanded community, the community gardens. What is that when you're trying? What's the goal of the education that's occurring at those larger community gardens?
So it is about helping people to grow their own food.
Yeah.
and to really understand what grows well in our community, in this zone. We have a whole program, where people can also purchase, we have self-contained watering containers. So people can buy those and they water, they save a lot less water, but you can grow different produce in them. And we help walk you through the different types of options that there are depending on the season. So it really is to help people be able to sustain their own food production. And we realize that to do that on a global and larger scale is very challenging.
Absolutely.
But we will make sure that people can do it in whatever capacity they can. And these self-contained watering kits are so helpful because people can use them in apartment complexes. You can use them even if you don't have a large gardening space, and you can take them with you wherever you go. So they're very popular in that way. And they're available for a very reasonable price on a sliding scale, depending on people's ability to pay. And they can always purchase those at our main location at Country Club.
Absolutely. I think one of those big benefits you mentioned there at the end is you're teaching not only the advantage of doing some of your own gardening and your food supply, but you're also giving them options if they are in an apartment complex or they don't have the space to really dedicate much to their yard. So you're taking them down a lot of different paths. There's a program that I found truly fascinating when I was first exposed to it several years ago, and that's the Caridad Kitchen.
Yes.
Because it serves a bunch of things. But the Caridad Kitchen, can you focus or can you tell us about what it does? And then I really was amazed by the education piece of it and the ability to help people find a way to re-enter the workforce.
Absolutely. So Caridad Community Kitchen is a wonderful training program. We have both a culinary training program for people who have been out of work or have experienced homelessness in the past. And the goal is to really help them gain the skills and knowledge that they need to work in a kitchen environment. It's a beautiful program. But also as part of that, we prepare the senior meals. So we partner with Meals on Wheels, Mobile Meals, and with Catholic Community Services and Lutheran Community Services. So we have a joint partnership with all of these different agencies and Interfaith Community Services to really make sure that we prepare the senior meals, and then these get picked up and delivered to different folks around the city.
It does amazing things, and I think after a couple of comments, we're going to cut to a break and let you get some water. I've been several of their graduations, and it was truly amazing because they awarded the chefs a set of knives so they could use when they were going out to try to find employment. And they also helped get them employment. And there's so much there that's really helping folks who varied and found themselves in situations they didn't expect to be in. Some of them sometimes even, coming out of jail and some issues like that,
yes.
Or the families had some breakdowns. And it's just a great program.
It is a great program, and we actually have a number of staff who are former graduates of the program.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And that's the way. Once they benefit, they give back, and that's part of it. It's all you always are always giving back. So we're going to cut to a break right now. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about the activities going on at the Community Food Bank of Southern Arizona with Malia Chavez. And you're listening to 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. We'll be right back. Welcome back. You're listening to Jump in Tucson, the Engagement Hour, and we've gone over a lot of the programs that Community Food Bank of Southern Arizona has established. We're with the CEO, Malia Chavez. And one thing that we always talk about in this show, not always, but occasionally I'll bring it up, is everybody can support. Everybody can give in some way. You've got time, talent, and treasure. And you've talked a lot about the time you need for the volunteers. A lot of them bring specific talents that they can do that add to it. But there's that giving piece. There is that treasure piece. And it is a need for all nonprofits to raise money. So I know recently your board's taken some action that's kind of lets the donors to the Community Food Bank know that the money they give is going to go to where it's supposed to, which is helping feed others and try to solve some of the food security issues.
Yes, absolutely. And I am a big believer in being a good steward of people's donated dollars. So a big part of it is really in these initiatives for making sure we can bring more fresh produce to communities, making sure that people are getting the enrichment that they need, making sure that we are committed to having consistent protein available for people. And that's been a huge part of the work over the last almost 2 years, is to really make that shift. And our board has taken, you know, a very clear stance around our contribution to when it comes to political campaigns and things of that nature. That is not our role. I know that that has been a question in the past. And so really what we're about is providing education and information for people. But really the goal is for when people do give their time, their resources, their dollars, that it really is going to make sure that people are getting the food and the support that they need individually.
Absolutely. And just to clarify that, the board has taken the action that said that you will not use donor funds to contribute to political campaigns.
Correct.
In the future.
Yes, very specifically. And there's a article, I think, in the Green Valley newspaper. There's a couple of them that we have out there that we're happy to send, and we can link on the website if people want to see it. But yeah, it is very important to know that, you know, we do really value people's commitment and really want to make sure that people are getting what they need in the community today as we plan for whatever type of future and security for people for the future, which is, again, tied back to the education component.
Absolutely. So let's talk a little bit about the staff you've got. So
yes.
It's a large facility, a large organization. You know, your coverage is incredible.
It is.
Can you tell me a little bit about the full-time staff? And you can also maybe give a window into what the number of volunteers is also required just to make the organization run.
Oh, yeah. So we have a staff of about 170 people, which again is for all five counties. But it's a large staff, and we really require hundreds of volunteers every month in order to be able to provide the services that we do. Just for instance, to do a production line to produce just one of the boxes, we need at least 60 volunteers in order to do that. And then depending on if we're at a mobile distribution, we need anywhere from 15 to 30 volunteers. So we definitely rely on volunteers. They are our backbone. But we are also experiencing such a huge increase, which is also why we have such a large staff at this time. We have some communities that have seen 110% increase in their participation for people coming out to our mobile distribution.
And that's not volunteer participation. That's client.
That's client. Yes. Our neighbors that are coming out to receive. And that number in particular is from Douglas from this last month. And so those numbers have really grown. Our Ajo distribution has also seen an increase of almost 80%. And then locally here in Tucson, we have continued to hover around 30 to 35% increase in need. And like I mentioned earlier, we've had some record-breaking days where just, you know, in a regular Thursday in the middle of June, we saw 2,000 people, which is more a number that we would normally see right before a holiday.
Have you had a problem where you've ever run short?
So fortunately, we have not in the time that I have been here. One of the big things that I think is maybe not as sensational or exciting for people who are not in the logistics world is really trying to plan ahead and get ahead of cycles. So we know when there's downtime, we know when we get a lot less from the USDA, we know when different growth cycles are, you know, produce is going to be scarce. So we have been trying to time it so that we're purchasing to fill in those gaps to make sure that there's always a consistent flow of food for people. And we've done a really great job in the last year.
And quite often, some of the food that comes to you for distribution is unanticipated. And that's why the sorting machine is so critical to you as well.
Absolutely.
But sometimes there's, you know, as they say, bonus things in the bags, because the distributor may come to you and it may have a time frame that it's got to get to the public.
Absolutely. And we have to be ready to go. And that's where our regular committed volunteers that are there every week, who never know what they're going to get assigned to, are really invaluable for us.
So what's the total, roughly, the total number of distributions boxes that you give out a month?
So we average about anywhere between 36,000 to 40,000 boxes.
That's a lot of food.
Yes, and that does not include the school pantries, and it does not include any of our agency markets, grocery rescue, or any of the other food pantries that are just giving out donated items, which are in the thousands.
Yeah, that's huge, and a lot of organizations. It's sometimes a challenge, but there's a process and procedure to set up a school pantry.
Yes.
But the impact when you see the kids actually do the shopping.
Yes.
And get to see them pick the foods and the pride for some of them that they're bringing food back to the families.
Absolutely.
Is enormous.
Absolutely. I remember one of the very first visits I had at one of our middle schools. One of the kids we had watermelons, and he was trying to figure out a way to carry all these watermelons home, and you know, got some extra bags, and he was like, I have to take these home. My family's going to be so excited for the weekend. And, you know, it was like his biggest priority. And, you know, for a teenager, you know, sometimes that you know, it's hard to see excitement come out in them. And so it was really lovely to see that.
Well, there is a segment of the community that people just don't understand. For those kids, some of the meals they get are the ones at school.
Yes.
So by being able to take home food on a weekly or biweekly basis from school, it helps them in the long run, makes them better residents. Appreciate your time today, Malia.
Thank you.
Thank you for all you're doing at the Community Food Bank. And you've been listening to 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Please consider going to Wake Up Tucson's Honor Flight event this Saturday, and tune in tomorrow to listen to Grant Kruger on 1030 The Voice with Jump In Tucson and the Engagement Hour. Everybody have a great day.